Okay, so yesterday we had outlined the basic principles of Tocho and Toch Tocho, and presented different models of how to understand it, and we'd begun discussing why Tocho has anything to do with the sugya of Mina Machrivba, Mina Lav Machrivba. And we said, yes, if we haven't already put to rest any claims that Lishma is just like the same as Kavanah B'mitzvot, rather than statuses, this Gemara should put that to rest forever, because as it is, the sugya makes no sense. But if you say, okay, Lishma is like a status, and what you're saying is, can the status of Chulin like affect the status of Karbonot, of Lishma by Karbonot? So maybe we can talk about the status of a Kli, Shetef, recognize, but if it's like, Lishma is just like what's going on in your mind, then fine, but what does it have to do with the next line? I mean, like, unless you're like, this is very, very, very weak, loose association of thoughts, which is, oh, I would like to ask you something about another case and something which is sort of loosely related to it, but therefore it's unaffected. I mean, at some point it's like, okay, I mean, the associative thinking is too much. So in that context, we introduced again the basics of Tocho, Toch, Tocho. And we said, is it that the Tumat Toch is a type of maga, right? It touches the air. Or is it, no, that the Tumah is to contain the Davar Tameh, and then we move to Toch Tocho. And you said, well, how do you explain Toch Tocho? So if you think it's about Maga, it's very hard. Yeah, I don't know. It prevents touching the air space. I mean, I guess, I don't know, something like that. Or you say that, look, if it's about, it doesn't contain it because it's contained within that which is contained. Or you say it's like a different place or something like that. So the Gemara then said, hey, asked the question again, right? The Gemara had said, Virama, just to review those lines, Virama milta achrita, mi amar Rav Yehuda marav chatat sheshachta l'shem ola psula, shachta l'shem chulin, said, ah, do you say it is as a carbon? As another carbon, then it's invalid, but if you have a chulin, it's not. Alma de mina machrivba lo, mina lo machrivba. And therefore, we see that only that which is of the same type destroys, and that which is not, not. Ve'atanya, and then we invoke this crazy case of Tarot. Tocho v'lo toch tocho v'avilo kli shetef. That tuma is, again, right, so again, right, so again, this is the kli cheres, this is the second kli, even kli shetef. So if I put it like this, kacha, and the second kli is still above the rim of the kli cheres, then the tumah here doesn't affect this, right? It's not considered inside of this. Now, obviously, if you do that, then all bets are off, because the because the airspace, it is contained within the airspace. Right? It's also another kli, but because the entirety of the second kli is included within the airspace of this kli, so that's not what we're talking about. The it depends what type of kli it is. But yes, meaning if it's also a kli cheres, then yes. And if it's a kli shetef, yes. But the implications are different for a kli shetef than for a kli cheres. What?
Even when it's not fully.
Correct. Meaning, but it's in the right. Okay. So that's what we were. Now it's all the 12
over there. That
which kli? The like, no problem. The cup, the cup or the milk thing? Okay, yeah. Karel, obviously, the cup becomes impure. Well, okay. Well, let's be careful. If this is a kli cheres, the cup's a kli cheres, so then it also has the same halacha that it's tamei from within it. Right? If it's a kli shetef, it wouldn't become tameh because it doesn't come tameh from the airspace unless it touches. Right? Because it's tameh according to its own rules of tumah. Right? So if it's a kli-
the spoon is impure in both cases.
Well, yeah, well, this is not a spoon. I mean, it is a spoon, but this is a mouse. I don't know. Right? Or a dead mouse, okay? Or a because I had a dead human flesh or whatever it is. It's not a spoon. I don't really. Look, it's bad enough I'm getting two kalim. I'm not going to go searching for a dead mouse to start. Yesh gvul to my show and tell here. What? Yes. Well, that's not a sheretz. I mean, not in the formal halachic sense.
Wait, I thought it was all dead animals.
Well, not too much sheretz. There's too much nevela, which is different. Anyways. Not doing this now. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says an answer. Vishani also chulin etzel kachim ki mechitza etzel tanur. Ma mechitza etzel tanur lo mani laklal chulin etzel kachim lo mani laklal. So Rava had said, well, so a klishetef is considered the same type of kli, right? You thought that it's lav mina, that it's not the same, simply because the klicheres has one set of rules of toma. Right? If it's tamei, it has to be broken, it gets tamei from the inside, and klishetef has different rules of tumah. So you thought it was lav mina, and if it was lav mina, then it shouldn't be recognized, and if it's not recognized, then it shouldn't be able to prevent tumah to the outer kli. But he says, no, it is recognized as tamei. It is recognized. What is the equivalent of L'shem Chulin is a non-kli. Not a kli, which is not a kli cheres, but a non-kli, i.e. a mechitza, trying to divide that foul-smelling... What can I have? It doesn't have peanut butter in it. It also doesn't foul-smelling. Here. Can I... What? Yes, full-walled work in like Tumat Ohel. Right, if you're talking about tumah that makes someone tummy in a house, yeah, right. So if you're in the same house under the same roof, yeah. So here it doesn't. It's yes, that's exactly what he's saying, and the wall is like the lav mina. Have we gotten later? The Gemara is going to get worse. You thought the Gemara was going to get better. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. That's why I figured I would only spend a few days on it. You know, it's only getting worse. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So it's like that. Ditnan, as we said, Tanur shechatzitzu ben isarim. If you, and again, as those of you who were with me when I was talking to Rabbi Weiss about it yesterday, Taro, despite the fact that it has no Bavli and no Yerushalmi and only Mishnayot, is still, I won't say objectively because I can't say objectively, but is generally understood by most people, even people with tremendous experience in Talmud Torah, to be harder. Tarot is considered harder than all the other limudim combined. You know, what? Oh, yeah. I've taught Erevin at the Smicha level 3 times. You know, I don't find Erevin to be that challenging. I mean, it's challenging, but that challenging. Tarot, on the other hand, melts my brain every time I try. There is, yes. There are Tosefta. And there's plenty of Midrash Halacha.
I mean,
does
the Tosefta have anything in the book of Galus, right?
There is a Tosefta on almost every Masechet. No, there is a Tosefta. There's sort of a Tosefta on Pirkei Avot, which is Avot Rabbi Natan.
Well, yeah, that's not a Tosefta.
Yeah, I understand. It's the Masechet Tanan. Ditanan. Tanur Shechatzitzu Benisari. So if you have a oven divided with boards, open biriot, or with curtains, v'nimtza sheretz b'makom echad, and you find a creepy, crawly thing in one side of said oven, hakol tameh. It's all tameh. Right? So that's exactly the case we just said, that a chatzitza is considered the lav mina. Right? A chatzitza is different than a kli. Right? This is the logic. Is that our hava mina was that in order to define, now, there is a very interesting conceptual move going on here. And again, we're not going to get too much into this. But what was the Hava Mina of the Gemara just within Tarot? Was even within the world of Mina Machrova, Mina La Machrova, the Hava Amina was that what makes something Mina of the same kind? It shares all the same halacha, right? And therefore, only a klicheres is recognized by a klicheres. But then the Gemara says, no, a klishetef right? A metal kli, even though it is different halachot, is still mina because it's still a vessel, and it's still a vessel susceptible to tumah. It happens to be that the way it's susceptible to tumah and the way you make it pure is different. The hava mina was that was enough to make it lav mina, generating the question, right? 1 second. Yes? Yes? Are we clear, right? That the hava mina was because a metal kli becomes tumah in a different way than a clay vessel. And it becomes tahor in a different way. Therefore, it is considered a lav mina, not of the same kind as the surrounding clay vessel. Therefore, the fact that it can protect from tumah is evidence of the fact that that which is of a different kind is recognized. And the Gemara then rejects it and says, no. All kalim, all vessels that are considered, that are susceptible to tumah, are enough of the same kind such that the reason that this kli inside this kli can protect the outer kli from tumah is not because it's lav mina, but because it's mina. They are of the same species, and therefore if it's of the same species, it is recognized. If it's recognized, it prevents it from being tocho and makes it tocho, as we understood yesterday. The equivalent of not tocho, of not mina, is mechitza, where even though mechitza in certain areas of halacha divides, it is clearly lav mina. Right? It's lav mina of a kli. Mechitza and kelim are fundamentally different, and therefore, the kli, the wall in the kli. Don't worry, I closed the bag of cereal, so right. I'm not touching the cereal, but it right that is not recognized as if it's non-existent, and therefore, that which is on this side can make this tummy. Right? That's the move that the Gemara makes. Yeah. You would think, right? But no, right? The Gemara always assumed that two karbanot are mina. Right, that the Gemara never, which is interesting. You're definitely right to pick up on that. Right, was that right? The Gemara never at any point assumed that. Now, why is it the case? Because if that was the case, if what you said was true, that karbanot, different karbanot are considered different minim for the purpose of mina macharba, then this whole halacha would not exist. Lishma would not exist because it would be impossible for any intent of one karban for another karban to be recognized. So the Gemara never entertains that possibility. So that's an interesting question. Zvachim to Menachot. Okay, let's leave that for now. But that's a much more interesting question. Is Zvachim or Menachot recognized? Okay. That gets more complicated because one of the things you find in Kachim is what if you have a machshava that is so obviously against the reality that it is meaningless, right? So if I shecht an animal, but I think it is flour, right? I don't know what that means. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, fine. Yeah, I was like, Kabbalah. I'm like, okay, you're about to tell me something mystical. I was like, oh, okay, no, you mean Kabbalah. That makes more sense. I'm like I said, I'm not totally with it right now. So, but okay, that makes more sense. Yeah. Some of the other ones are a little bit more simple, but still, they're fundamentally different. I mean, look, I faint at the thought of blood. I don't faint at the thought of wheat. I panic slightly at the thought of throwing flour only because I know that my kids are celiac and I have to deal with that. But it's not the same reaction to blood. So, yes, there is zrika by blood, right? And then there's the kmitza and the, you know, whatever of, you know, and you throw that flour on the fire. But still, they are fundamentally different. Shocking, I know, but they are fundamentally different. You know, the sprinkling of blood is different in a very, very fundamental way, not lumdishly. This is not a lumdish point. This is simply that those of us who don't like blood can probably handle flour. And those of, and people who are celiac can handle menachot, right? Can handle zvachim as long as they can deal with blood, but might have trouble with menachot. Yeah. So then the Mishnah continues with the case that, yes, is even harder, which is the case of the kaveret. So what is a kaveret? Yeah, it's a hive. Now, it doesn't have to be a beehive. It could be anything shaped like a hive, right? So it doesn't usually... Here it's not actually referring probably to a beehive rather than a hive-shaped thing, right? But kaveret, shehi pchuta upikuka bikash. If you have it, it is plugged up with straw. Umishul shelet la'avira tanur. And then lowered into an oven. Now, by the way, why lowered into an oven? What? Why lowered? I'm asking you lowered. Why lowered? What? No, because what did their ovens look like?
A tanur was sort of like...
Yeah, exactly, right? This is very simple. You've seen, you know what this looks like, right? Everyone knows what this looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah? Like that it's... Anyone, have you made pita on these, you know, at all these workshops? No?
Like, through the hole inside that they would put the...
So a tanur didn't have that. A kira did, right? There were different types, but a tanur was traditionally the one... There was a hole at the bottom to deal with the... coals.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct. Right, but the standard part of it is it looks like... Yeah, it's like a cone with the top cut off of it. Right, and that's why the way you bake bread is you put it on the side. Right, whenever the Gemara talks about taking bread out of an oven, what's it called? Ridiata pat. Right, what is ridiata pat? It's taking it off. Right, like you have the pita around the on the hot walls, right, and they puff up, and then you just sort of knock them off. Right, so that's why it's just physically why it's being lowered. What? Was it? Say it again.
Never mind. It was a stupid side point about cashless.
I mean, the sugya talks about different ovens, whether you need them.
I mean that like all of these people had a tanur for meat and a tanur for dairy. Like
I assume they did not, but I don't know. I mean, maybe the rich people did. I don't know. Just like we have, you know, I pray for two dishwashers. I don't know. It's one of those things I regret about my house is that I just didn't, when we planned our kitchen, I didn't plan for two dishwashers because I didn't realize how much I would come to love my dishwasher.
Is that really the best
thing? Dishwashers? I am not 100% certain, but I am machmir on dishwashers, yes. Yes. Dishwashers are the interesting thing where arguably the two of the greatest poskim of the latter half of the 20th century both thought that either you could use meat and milk dishwashers at the same time or consecutively. And most from Jews would not entertain, in America at least, would not entertain that as possible. Both Moshe Feinstein and Reb Avadya Yosef said it was fine.
Yeah.
And when I asked someone who lived on the Lower East Side to ask one of the Feinsteins whether they do it in their own house, he told me, quote, I asked, it was either David or Reuven's wife, if they used the same dishwasher, and she said in dismay, no, who would ever say that's okay? And didn't have the heart to tell her, your father-in-law, right? Rav Moshe Feinstein said it was fine. Rav Avadya said you could use milk and meat dishwashers at the same, dishwasher for milk and meat at the same time. Correct. In America, you will basically never find someone who does that. In Israel, I have never met anyone who did it simultaneously. I have met many people who do rely on Rav Moshe in Israel. In Israel, Rav Moshe's psak is much more widespread. What? I don't know. Too strict. I don't know. Some things are strict. Some things are lenient. I don't know what you want from me. Right? Right, exactly. Like in America, they're not machmir on chadash yashan issues, where in Israel they are super machmir on chadash yashan issues. Like it depends on different things. The dishwasher thing, I'm not sure. Right, I'm not sure. I understand this. What I do tell people is, if you want to be safe, what I do think is definitely fine is, and this I do in my house, is that if you want to run the other thing, so some dishwashers, here's my hack, which one of my friends ran by an super machmer posek, and he was like, yeah, obviously that's fine. So if he says it, it's definitely fine. Which is some dishwashers have the cup setting. You ever see that? The glasses setting? And those run on some at 40 to 45 degrees Celsius. Is not yatsa ledetbo, right? So 40 degrees Celsius is not yatsa ledetbo according to anybody, and 45 is not yatsa ledetbo according to almost all poskim, right? So if you run the opposite thing on that, then it's fine. Because it can't possibly mess it up because the water isn't hot enough. No. 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 If it's so hot, right? Ruvadia thinks that because there's soap, even if it's yatsa leaded bone, there's meat and milk, it's fine. The problem is, first of all, not all dishwashers actually release soap in the first cycle. Right? A lot of them don't. Yeah, so a lot of them don't release it. They first have a rinse with boiling hot water. That's part of the problem. What? Or that, or whatever. So that's a bit major problem. But anyways, okay, now we're getting far afield here. So I wouldn't say like firmly. If someone tells me they use dishwashers consecutively for meat and milk, right? I'm not going to say it's usher. I would say Ramosha Feinstein said it was fine. Now, part of the problem is that Ramosha is talking about a different dishwasher. That's part of the complexity here, right? Is that different dishwashers work differently, and the reality is just different. That's part of the problem. The dishwasher Ramosha is talking about is not the dishwasher you have in your house. I know. I've seen the dishwasher he was talking about. What? More specifically, he is speaking about the dishwasher that is still there in Baycrest, if you ever want to go see it. It is in Toronto. In Toronto. It was a tshuva to Rabbi Felder, senior, right? It is there. When I went on a tour, when I was in the Kollel, the CRC brought us on a tour. COR, rather. Not the CRC. COR is the Toronto one. CRC, Chicago. COR brought us on a tour of different, kosher things in the city, and they were very proud at Baycrest, and they were like, this is the dishwasher, this thing. It is massive. It is a $150,000 piece of equipment that takes up, it winds around like the size of a huge room. It is a monstrosity. Baycrest is a hospital plus nursing home plus assisted living facility, like massive, and the entire thing is kosher, and they also cook all the kosher food for all the hospitals in the GTA, right? So it is a, right, when you talk about, it was an important shaila, because getting another one of those things is a serious, yeah. It was very fun. This is like the very nerdy rabbi thing, It's like, it's the dishwasher, It's like a landmark, But the funny thing was, you go with the kollel, we were all like, ooh, the dishwasher. I know we're parodies of ourselves, but it really was. It was like, it's Ramosha's tshuva to Rabbi Felder on this dishwasher. Every so often I would give a shiur where I would be quoting a tshuva of Ramosha, which was to Rabbi Felder. And when I got to give the shiur in Shomrei Shabbos, which is Rabbi Felder's shul, it was just like, everyone was like, oh, the shaila was asked about these Dalet Amos. It really was. And even though I know I'm like a parody of myself when I did, I was still like legitimately excited. Anyways. What? Yeah. Kaveret shehi pruta upkuka bekash mishalot lavir tanur. And sheretz b'tocha tanur tamei sheretz b'tanur. Now what if? The opposite case. The second half is, what if this creepy crawly thing is in the oven? Then ochlin shebitocha tmein. So similarly, anything in the oven gets tamei. Rabbi Eliezer then says mitaher. Rilazer says in both the oven and the kaveret. Right? And Rilazer says no. In that case, the food in the barrel is tahor.
Wait, the first thing is the food in the oven?
Yes. No. No, the first case, it's in the kaveret, and now you're talking about what affects the tanur. Now we're talking about the opposite case. What's in the tanur, does it affect the kaveret? Everyone agrees that if it's in the kaveret, it goes out into the oven. Rabbi Eliezer and and the Tanakhama disagree about whether it goes from the oven back into the kaveret. Okay? And Amar Rabbi Eliezer, says, what's his logic? Kal vachomer. Okay. Im hitzil b'meit. So now, he says as follows. He says, what are you talking about? How could it be that it doesn't protect it? That the kaveret doesn't protect that which is inside of it from tumah coming from the oven? Essentially, worst comes to worst, what is the kaveret? A machitza. Right? Worst comes to worst, the kaveret is a machitza. And as we said, machitza is relevant by tumat meit. And that tumat meit is much more chamor than sheretz. Lo tatzil b'kli cheres hakal. Shouldn't it protect within the kli cheres? Amru lo, lo. They said, no. It's not. And now, yes. So now, you could just look at Rashi and Tosfot and the Vilna Shas, and you will discover that there are multiple different Gersot in the Gemara. If you really wanted to, you could be very fancy, and you could go to the Lieberman Project, or you could go to the, or the Geniza Project, and you could just line up our Gemara with all the, and look at the Gersot. So if you did this, here. I will do it now. I will do it. Guest log. Wait, here we go. Guest login. Yeah. Here, let's do this. So, Zvachem. Right, try that again. Hachi Garcinan, Bavli. Okay, let's open it. Login. Login. There we go. I am logged in. So now, here. If you can look at my computer, you'll see that what they do is they have here the Vilna. And even if you can't make out the words, but they have the Vilna here on the right-hand side of my screen. And then they have all the manuscripts. The red is where the manuscript diverges from the Vilna. And as you can see, there are multiple manuscripts, each of them with more red. That tells you that not only are there variant textual witnesses here, they're all different. Yes, they are all different. What? So this is a, right, so here there are a lot of changes. A lot. And by the way, that was only the first line. Right. If you continue, you will see that every line on this amud is like that. This amud is particularly messy. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Messy. So we'll start with the Vilna version of it because that's what we have in front of us. But as Tosfot notes, Rashi doesn't have the Vilna. Right? Rashi doesn't have. Tosfot seems to have something close to the Vilna, but Rashi does not. So Gemara says, it's a good skill to have. It's not. It's just the one that was printed. It's not bad, right? The Vilna went through a lot of editing over the years and stuff like that. It's not bad. It's not like the Yerushalmi where the Gerses are completely crazy. But it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not talking about this wasn't censored, okay? Yeah, there are places where it's censored. I'm willing to bet money that the censor did not look at this sugya and say, oh, I see an anti-Christian polemic. He was just like, oh, what's going on? Like everybody else, right? Yes, obviously the stories in the Gemara that talk about Jesus are heavily censored. And when it talks about non-Jews, it's heavily censored. This Gemara is just that it was probably confusing. So people just were like, Much of them, yes. Not all of them, but yes. Some was self-censored by Jews. Some was censored by the church through Jewish apostates. Some by Christian Hebraists. Sure. A person who converted to Christianity and therefore had the traditional learning enough to be able to understand what's going on, but not the commitment anymore. right? So yes.
What I've never understood is, like, how many priests were actually willing to read through the entire Bible? Like,
I don't know. It depends where, it depends what period, different times, different places. Anyways, so Gemara says, Im hitzel b'meit chamor shekein chaluka b'o'alin. Tatsu b'klicheres hakal shekein ein, aga shein chalukin b'o'alin. That's the Vilna, right? What I'm reading now is the Vilna. Just make sure. Okay, right, so he says, if the this division, this partition, protects it from Tumat Meit, which is Chamur. It's not a Kal Vachomer. Why is it not a Kal Vachomer? Because it's not about Chumra Kal. It's about the laws, exactly. The Tumat Meit, the standard is Ohels, right? Is one of the Tumat that you have by Meit is, are you in the same structure? And structures are defined by walls. Exactly. It's just different systems. It's not, right? You are assuming, really, is there, that in order that there's a Kal Vachomer, because you assume that all the system of Tumah is basically one, and therefore it's a hierarchy. But no, it's true that it is a more intense Tumah. But the means by which something comes to Tumah, Tumah made, is a different type of, right? It's just a different pathway. So Gemara says, HaTenach LeRabbanan. So according to the Rabbanan, this sugya makes sense as much as possible. Because at least they acknowledge the fact that mechitza is not recognized in the world of Tumat Kelim, and therefore we can plausibly compare, if you want to remember where we were, you can plausibly compare Tumat Kavana of Chulen to mechitza as being something that is not recognized, as Lav Mina, being insignificant, and therefore, in the case of Karbana, not registering to invalidate, in the case of Tumah, not registering to protect. Li Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Eliezer, who says that a mechitza is recognized, even the word of Kalim, what is the parallel to what? He just said it worked. Remember, the food that's in the oven, because of the Kal Vachomer from Tumah Meit, that the food in the oven, right, is going to convey into the, right, is not going to be conveyed Tumah into the Kaveret, which means that what is the equivalent for him of Lav Mina, right, my Ika LeMeimar. So the Gemara says, if it weren't messy enough, Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, Kal Vachomer Kamar. No. Rabbi Eliezer agrees in principle that what? Lav Mina is not machrev, but in the case of Tumah, he has a Kal Vachomer that negates the normal logic of mina lav machreva, of lav mina lav machreva, and says that because Tumat Meit has to be more chamor than the other Tumot, it will override the general logic of mina machreva, and therefore he's not interjecting in principle the notion. He's not rejecting in principle the notion that what? That Lav Mina is Machrev, is Lav Machrev. He's just rejecting the application here. So the Gemara says, and this we already saw, the Gemara says, well, if you think that a Kal Vachomer can negate the Svara of Lav Mina Machreva, then I have a reverse Kal Vachomer for you by Chulin. Remember we saw this already? E Hachi Hatam Nami Lema Kal Vachomer Kachim Mechalin Kachim Chulin Lo Kol Shekein. That if Kodesh can make Kodesh invalid, then Chulin can. And we already dealt with this Tosfot, remember, 2 or 3 days ago, which was, wait a second, so on Amud Aleph you have a Svara that Kachim should hurt Kachim more than Chulin. And here the Gemara has a Svara that Kachim should hurt Kachim less than Chulin, right? And we remember Tosu tried to distinguish between Kate. Yes, but now the Gemara is offering a Kal Vachomer in the opposite direction, right? Remember, that was the Tosu. Tosu said, I understand. How could you have a Svara? If you had a source, it'd be one thing. But here you throw out a Svara in one direction, then you had a Svara in the other direction, right? So that's why Tosu came up with a distinction that there's a difference between thinking it's Chulin, right? and shechting a karban intentionally as chulin. Right? That those are not the same. So the Gemara says, Ella taima derav ke Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, you're right. The reason Rabbi Eliezer is like the following. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, my taima derav, why does Rav say that your shechting, one second, that shechting chulin doesn't affect it? Not because of his svara. Meaning, it's not logical. You could, because the logic can cut either way. Right? Because sometimes the closer something is, the more it hurts it, and sometimes the farther it is, the more it's acknowledged. The reason is because there's a pasuk. V'lo yechalalu et katshei v'nei Yisrael et asher yarimu la'ashem. Don't profane the kadshim. Kadshim, mikadshim, kadshim, for which he reads as kadshim can be mechal kadshim in chulin, mechal in kadshim. So the Gemara says, alma atakra afke mechal v'chomer. So what you see is that in the world of kadshim, a pasuk can override your intuitive logic. Yes, sure. Afke mechal v'chomer, achanami leite tocho lafke mechal v'chomer. And therefore, even if there is a logic by that should say, by the Tumah case, right, so the Gemara says, the Pasuk overrides Rabbi Lezer's Kal V'chomer, and that's why the Chachamim rule what they do by Tocho, Toch, Tocho, even if it ends up being... This is... Yeah, this is only necessary. Not necessarily maskana that not everyone would agree, but yes, it's invoked within a real answer, yes. Lav dafka. They might still think it's a pasuk at the end of the day, once we know there's a pasuk, but correct, we didn't fully reject their logic. Now, I didn't want to completely torture you, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but I will merely note for you, did you try Tosfot? Did anyone even think about trying Tosfot? Good, smart, smart. Don't do that. Don't do it. It's too hard. No, seriously. This is really, really brutal. But here, the Girsa issue creates a complete nightmare in Pshat as well. Simply what is going on here. So the Girsa here. Good. So if you look at Tosfot at the top of the page, on Gimel Amud Bet, Tosfot just notes this nightmare. And Tosfot says, in Shekin Chalukin Olim, he notes, I'll just read through it quickly with you, right? A little bit. Perish Bekuntres. Rashi understands the Gemara as follows. Shekin Derech B'nei Adam Lachlok O'alim B'mechitza. That the Kal V'chomer works it like this. That why is it that a mechitza is relevant in the world of Tumat Meit, and not in the world of Tumat Kli Cheres? Rashi says, because people normally divide their houses with walls, and they don't normally divide their ovens with walls, and therefore walls are relevant in the world of houses, and they're not relevant in the world of ovens. Hilkach, Oel Achrina, Hu, therefore by houses, it is another Oel. Aval Tanur, Ein Derech Lichalko. So first of all, what's weird about Rashi? Rashi, first of all, chalks this entire thing, these halachot, up to what's normal. Not like any formal fundamental rules. It's just like, well, where people use walls, walls is significant. Where they don't use walls... Good. So Evan will say, well, what happens if the world would change? What happens if people have standardly, a lot of modern ovens are like this, right? You have a dual oven, right? You actually have an oven that's broken into two. Right, so then would you say it changes? Like my in-laws have an oven like that, right? Not side to side, but top to bottom, right? Like a mini oven at the bottom they use for dairy, and then the main oven they use for fleishig, and it just has sort of a dividing thing between them, right? So in a world like that where you have that, what? You can't imagine it.
I'm confused because conceivably the steam goes between the chambers.
No, it doesn't. It vents out through the vent. No, it is two different doors.
So then it really is not. So, but they're heated together?
No, they can heat separately.
So then it's two ovens.
Well, that's my point, is that nowadays, well, what divides them? A wall, a door, meaning it's built together, and then you put a, you know, a heat-resistant metal thing in the middle. I don't know exactly how it works.
Okay.
It's essentially two ovens, correct, but they are physically part of one broader structure. Like when you put in your oven stove, is your oven and stove different things? Yeah, but in America, usually they come together, right? So this all comes together. I'm not going to try to describe my in-law's oven. Yeah. He might have seen it, but I don't think you paid attention to it. It's like...
Wait, hold on. What's this, the stove on top of the oven? I've never seen this before.
How many of you in America, did your burners are not attached to the oven?
No, we have an oven and then we have a stove.
So that's what I have in Israel, but in America... Standard... What? It's very rare in America. In America, usually you buy an oven and the burners are attached to it.
Under the stove to get to the oven?
Yeah. You know, bend down. I mean,
the
stove is on top of the oven.
Okay, I can sort of visualize it, but this is not what we had in my house.
Where are you? Is the West Coast just a different world?
Yeah, in Florida, I guess not anything about it.
I mean, in Israel, we don't have it. In Israel, they're separate, right? In Israel, it is like that. That's you buy stovetops separately. But standard in America, really? Anyways, so Rashi is weird, first of all, because he assumes that this is about what is normal rather than like a formal rule, that mechitza is a relevant thing by OL and not by ovens, right? So that's already weird by Rashi, meaning... So Tosfos then says, "Mashma leverusho de pligi af betanur shechatzu benitzarim neiriyah." So he said, besides for the obvious, right? What is the implication of Rashi? Is that the machloket Rilazar and the chachamim is even within an oven, right? Meaning. Does an oven, can you split an oven for the purpose of Tumah and Tahara with a machitza? The Rilazar would say yes, and the Chachamim would say no, meaning not just the Kaveret case. Right? Rashi assumes that A, the halacha of machitza is true because it's normal, and B, that the reason that they're arguing about a Kaveret which is found inside the oven is not because of a kli in an oven, but because they're arguing about whether a mechitza works in an oven, and Rilazar says always yes, and the Chum say always no. Uvid Torat Kohanim, but then he says can't be. In the Torat Kohanim, mashma, dibekaveret pchuto pkuka mushulshelet lavir tanor dafka pligi velo bechatsu b'nesarim. Tosu said it's not true. Everyone agrees that a mechitza, a regular run-of-the-mill mechitza, is totally not recognized in an oven. They're arguing specifically in a kaveret because it's not really a mechitza. It's not because of kli. Right now, what's the problem? He can't say it's a kli. Why can't he say it's because it's a kli? Because the Gemara explicitly says, calls it mechitza. So, but he says it's not that it has a mechitza. What is it? V'taim mishum de kaveret sheyesh la arba mechitzot. Chai tzedam l'domi l'kli. So Tosfos says, no. It's a kaveret. Gemara calls it mechitza. Correct. So it covers it, and then it says it makes a kavachomer based on the word mechitza. Right? Good. So Tosfos says, no, the reason that Tosfos says everyone agrees that a mechitza, a regular run-of-the-mill mechitza, is completely irrelevant in the world of Tumat Kalim. No one cares about that. Right? Unlike Rashi, right? Rashi thinks and Rilazar believes that a normal mechitza, A, works in an oven to divide it, and B, that it's just because that's normal. Tosfos says, no. A kaveret divides, according to Rilazar, because it has four walls, and therefore, even if it's not formally a kli for all purposes, it is like a kli, because it has four walls. It's a self-contained thing. Of a mechitza achat, but a single wall, everyone would agree. Modi Rilazar, de lo chaitza. Vitame, everyone agrees it's not tame. Right? V'hachi I dabe parshat vayhi b'yom ha-shmini gabe tocho v'lo tochto chetzat chavit randu b'tan urpi ala malam en atan urmikan amru kaver shi pchuta v'chule v'chule. Rilazar, it's clear that in the Torah Kohanim that it's specifically the case of the barrel thingy, right? The hive shaped barrel. And Amr Lazar Mibit Sila Bemate Khamur Lo Tazul Klar Zakal, Amr Lo Matil Bemate Khamur Makum Jamachita Matel Tazul Klar Zakal Shen Machita Matelet. Mashma the Shekane Cholkim Olim. The Amr Lo Dishmay Nami Pirush Amr Lo Torah Kohanim. So therefore, Tosafot then introduces his own, right? He says, Rashi is just wrong to think that anyone ever thought that a regular mechitza, run-of-the-mill mechitza, has any relevance in tuma in an oven. He doesn't buy it, right? Their only argument is something with four walls, which is kli-like. That's a good question. But okay, that's how he understands it. It's not a kli-kli. Lekach nira l'Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Therefore, he quotes a second position. The Farish Hachi, im hitzil kaveret pchuta upikuka be'ol amit. Now, by the way, this matters very much for what we did yesterday. Again, I don't want to spend too much time, but that's why I didn't tell you to prepare it. But this matters for our question before of whether Tocho and the halacha of Tocho are maga or about being within. Because according to, according to Tosfot, division doesn't matter. Right? Division doesn't matter. The only thing that's going to protect you is what? Not sealed. It being counted as a separate kli. The fact that something's divided is irrelevant. Now that makes a lot of sense if the way you're thinking about Tumat Toch is that it has to be encapsulated within. So in order to solve the problem by Toch Tocho, if it's in something else, which is a Kli, so then it's not in the outer Kli, right? But if you're talking about, like, is it touching the airspace, then should Mechitza work? Yes, right? So it could be that Rashi's belief that Mechitza works, according to anybody, to prevent Tumah from transporting from one side of the oven to the other is because he's thinking about Tocho more as touching the airspace. And therefore, if I know that a mechitza prevents the airspace from becoming Tameh by Tumat Mate, then obviously it prevents the Tumah of transferring in the world of Kalim. But if you hold that what? The Tumah isn't about touching the airspace. It's about, is it or is it not encapsulated within the clay vessel? Then, should a wall matter? No. What matters is there something else that it can be encapsulated in? It's not about dividing it. It's about finding something else to plausibly say it is in. Right? So it could be that Rashi and Tosfot, they're machloket about whether anyone ever entertained the possibility that a regular run-of-the-mill mechitza divides for Tumah in a Kli Cheres is on this machloket, where according to Rashi, that is a possibility. He's thinking about Tumah of the inside of a Kli as basically you're touching the airspace. So, okay, if I divide the airspace, maybe you're only touching the left side, not the right-hand side. Tosfot says, no. The only way to protect something in a kli is by putting it in another kli. A wall doesn't matter because a wall doesn't make it not in the kli. It just makes it separate. But that's not what I want. I need it to be within something else. Is that at all clear? Do I have to repeat that? I understand that. This is why I didn't give it to you inside, because it's a nightmare. Yes? Right, so again, yesterday we talked about two models for kli cheres. One is that the reason it becomes tummy in the airspace is because it's as if you're touching the airspace, right? If that's the case, could you plausibly believe that if I put a wall in the middle of an oven, that something on the left side would no longer affect something on the right side? Yes, because you could say, listen, if I put a wall between it, if the air doesn't transfer, so it's not transferring. But if you say that no, tumat kli cheres toch of Kli Cheres isn't Tameh because it touches the airspace, but because it is a different type of Tumah. That if Tumah is ensconced within the Kli, that makes it Tameh. Not because it touches the airspace, that's just the definition. Then we said, then how do you define Toch Tocho? Why is it a Kli within a Kli is Tahor? Not because it prevents it from touching the airspace, but because the Tumah is now considered in this Kli and not in this Kli. So what that only works if what? The tumah is in another kli, not in, it's in the kli, just divided the left hand from the right hand side. Right? That doesn't make sense. Unless, as Evan notes, unless Rashi agrees with that, he just thinks that the effect of a wall is to make it into two kalim. Right? Is to mamish make it into two kalim. Right? That's how you could push back. I agree. Okay. Tosfot's second answer is Lakach Nir Rabbeinu Kadosh, the Farish Hachi, Im Hitzil Kaver Pchuta Upkuka Bolamit, Shekin Kolkin Olim, Peir Shekin Machitza Achar Mavseket Mavtzele. Tomar Bekli Cheres, Shetochus Kaver Shein Kolkin Olim, Peir Shekin Machitza Achar Mavseket Betanur, Eina Chotzetzet Alma Betanur Shechotzetzu Lo Pligi. He says, the logic goes like this. If this hive-shaped thing that was stopped up can protect something in Ohel HaMeit, meaning as a mechitza, meaning if I have this massive thing in a Ohel HaMeit, it can prevent tumah because the kli will act as a mechitza. Right? Then in a kli cheres, then in a kli cheres where we don't divide olim, right? So what is he saying, right? Meaning, according to him, no one thinks a regular mechitza works, right? It's just that the fact that the walls of a kaveret can act as walls in the world of tumat meit means that they should be recognizable in the case of the kli as well. And I'll just skip down, and venerally, Baruch, and then he has a third version, Renu Baruch, Kameach HaMashim, the Perush, the Cholkim Olim, the Gam Rabbi Yochum Menur, and Hainu Mechitza Matzelet, while Zam Rabbi Yozi, Elo Gam Sham Pligi Rabbi Eliezer, right? That we divide Olim, which Rabbi Yochum Menur, he said, is that a Mechitza saves, and what he's saying is, yeah, okay, you know what, let's leave it like that. The main point I wanted to make for you is that Rashi is willing to entertain the possibility that Mechitza is recognized in the world of Tumat Kelim. Tosfot is not and offers two explanations differently. I can see you're all getting as confused as I was, so I'm going to move on, okay? Unless you have opposition. Yeah. Okay, good, that was a little bit on it, yes.
This is very much a psychology, right? So,
yeah.
In some places, Kelim is spelled with a shin and other places with a
shin. Yes, power. Correct. Yes. Sometimes it's spelled with a sin, sometimes it's spelled with a samach, yes. In general, in Torah, it's spelled with a sin, and in rabbinic literature, with a samach. Ask him. I don't know. When did cheres start being spelled with a samach and not a sin? Ask him. Your research project now, okay? Okay, good. So next week, at some point, when you're ready, you get 15 minutes at the beginning of Shir to give a mini Shir. No, I'm not joking. On when Sin and Zach got switched, and to find at least one person who describes it by Charis. Fine, 5 minutes.
Okay.
Fine. As much time, up to 15 minutes. Whenever you want. Whenever you feel like you're ready to answer his question, because I am not going to torture myself with that, but you like that stuff, so it's all yours. What? You shouldn't be offended. Not at all. I'll put it this way. I think it's very important. I don't have the energy to do that type of research on when sins and samach started getting. I'm like vaguely. And that's why I'm asking you, because I know you enjoy it. I put it this way. I am happy to hear the digest of the research. I can't bring myself to do the research because I find it art. Right, and that's why you should not be insulted. I think it's very important. Ella time of the Rav, Kirebi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, "Damer Eliezer, my time of the Rav." Again, it's a pasuk. V'lo yichalu et kachim in Israel at Esherim elazem. Kachim mechalim, kachim in chulin mechalim, kachim. It's a pasuk. Alma atakra afke mikavachomer. Hanami lezi tocho lafke mikavachomer. So now the Gemara says, "Hi Tocho." The Gemara says, "How could it be?" So the word Tocho, mi bayle lo ochlan shegiblan betit vechnisan laavir tanur, says no. You can't invoke the word Tocho to teach me that a mechitza doesn't work, whatever mechitza means, Rashi, Tosfot, blah, 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 blah. The word tocho is to teach the following, that if you take the dead mouse and you cover it in clay, okay, and then you take the dead mouse in clay and put it in here, so now what? The word tocho is a chumrah, and it teaches you that what? That even though the mouse is covered in clay, it makes it tameh. Kasalta daika amina. Now listen to this havamina. Because you might have thought, hol v'negia lo metameh, that now if I would touch the mouse covered in the clay, I wouldn't be tameh. Why wouldn't I be tameh? Because you didn't touch it because it's covered. So you might have thought that it's not tameh in the oven. Baviru nami lo metameh, kamash malan. That it is tameh. Now someone go back to our original chakira. Right? So go back to our original chakira. Our original conceptual question, which was, if, according to the, remember we said, what is the nature of tumat toch? Is it that you're touching the airspace? Or that what? It's contained. The easiest way to say is that is what the Hava Mina Maskana, the Gemara is you might have thought that you're touching the airspace. If it's touching the airspace, then just like touching a mouse through clay doesn't make me tamei, then it touching the airspace of the clay won't be tamei, but kamash one, tocho, it's still inside. Right? And therefore it is tamei, which means that these two sides of the question are in fact the Gemara's question. Right, that the Hava Amina, which is that if you have a mouse, a clay-covered mouse. Good, the other way to say it is no, is the Gemara is saying that even if it's touching, it's like, it still has different standards. I don't know. But you're right, meaning this is a very good evidence that Tocho is about containing, not about touching, because it explicitly says you might have thought that just like by touching, this works to protect you from Tumah. It would protect you in the airspace, but it doesn't because it's still inside. Right? That's why there's good reason to believe. Right? So, again, as I've told you before, I don't believe that always the more conceptual model is right. It's just sometimes, to not say the more conceptual model, you have to kvetch so much that the conceptual model seems more likely. Here, it seems much clearer that Tocho is about it being contained. And that's why a mouse covered in clay is contained, even if it's not touching the airspace. That's why it's tama. It's tame. And the Gemara says, V'rabanan hanach lo tzrichei kra. And the Rabbanan say, this is self-evident. I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. It's just obvious that that is the case. Why is it obvious? Maybe because this whole thing, right? Meaning, they do take the pasuk of Tocho as teaching that the partition is ineffective, right, of protecting it. So how do they know that a food covered with clay is tamei? Because they think it's obvious. Now, why would you think it's obvious? If you never had a havamina that tomat toch was touching the airspace. You always thought it was containing. So then, duh, right? What? I don't know. Okay, so then by Sunday I want to finish this, yeah, both this and the Kavana thing. Okay, so we have a few more lines here. Again, I'm not going to kill you by, I already killed you by reading that Tosfot. I didn't kill you by making you read it before, right? So let's stop here. On Sunday the goal then is just to finish the Gemara with whatever, in a cursory way, just make points along the way, and cover this question of Kavana B'mitzvot. I hope that's all I do. I don't want to be bogged down more on this, and then we can move on to go back to Dalet and make some other points on Dalet.